Welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Travis, and today I am joined once again by Emily and Matt. Today we're going to do a deep dive into a little unique niche corner of redemptions in this hobby, specifically focusing on all-inclusive resorts. All-inclusive resorts have such a great value proposition. Some people love them, some people don't. Some people are mixed, but it's pretty hard to argue that all-inclusive options probably give you truly the best opportunity to save on your trip, right? Food, drink, sometimes even activities included. That means really nothing more out of pocket, maybe some tips and gratuities. But if you're really looking to stretch your points and save as much as possible, understanding how to use them for all-inclusive resorts can really be a great way to get some tremendous value that you might not even be able to fully quantify. You know, it's easy to see how much a hotel costs and how many points you're redeeming and what that's worth. But once you factor in the cost of like your food, drinks, activities, and whatnot, it can actually make that value a lot higher. And while I'm not a proponent of chasing that highest value, the takeaway is that it can be a really great option for people looking to save as much as possible on their travel, so long as you're looking to go somewhere that all-inclusive resorts exist, which is not everywhere. But we're going to go over, are they a good use of your points? Which programs offer good deals? Kind of breaking it down by some loyalty programs, sweet spots, elite perks, some redemption math, and you know, takeaways you need to know. Who's excited for all-inclusive resorts?
Me. I learned so much in the preparation for this episode. Some really unexpected locations for some of these.
I feel like I'm back in high school and I'm showing up to group project presentation day and I'm that person that just kind of pulled together the bare minimum. Hopefully we'll pass with flying colors.
We'll have to send you on an all-inclusive tour.
Yeah, okay.
Study tour.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
This is just
an area I don't know like a ton about, especially in points and miles. I mean, I know conceptually, but I've been to like one. Well, actually, that's probably not true. I guess Ventana Big Sur is considered all inclusive, so that's not true.
Yeah.
We did a sandals for our honeymoon way back when, and that's the extent of my all inclusive experience. Those two. So
that in like seven trips to Ventana.
Yeah.
Only two.
Yeah. Well, the pricing on the Sandals Resort way back in the day will still be accurate for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And the all cash part of that too. Also accurate.
Okay. Cross yeah. that one off.
Yep.
You know, all-inclusive resorts aren't something that I personally seek out that much, but it is like kind of reflecting on it for this episode, a place that I definitely have stayed at a few. Usually it's not so much intentional, but when just comparing my options, it's like I could go to the all-inclusive or go somewhere else, and knowing that I'll have some of that food and drink covered and included has led me to a few. So we'll share some of our own experiences with them. But first, our icebreaker, which I'm going to throw to Matt first, because someone's got to go first. And, you know, Matt being the one who is here in presentation mode. Matt, help us understand, like, if you could invent your dream points-based all-inclusive resort or option, it doesn't have to be a resort specifically, where would it be and what would it include?
I don't have any earth-shattering new business opportunities for us to share today at the presentation, unfortunately. My go-to would be literally sandals, like in the Caribbean, which, sorry, they stole the idea, whatever, 30 or 40 years ago. But in the Caribbean, my only caveat is it would have to have golf. And the one of the ones does. I don't know which one it is. I think it's maybe the Jamaica one. But I'm 90% sure that that's included as one of the activities. Or maybe it's a small, like, copay or whatever you want to call it, add-on. But, you know, just adding golf there for me would be sort of a requirement in the dream sort of points based. Obviously, it would have to be from a flexible, a transfer partner from flexible currency too, so that I could easily go back multiple times after replenishing my stock. And of course, the golf course would have to be very, very good.
See, I definitely thought you were going to say that it would be in Turks and Caicos.
No, I mean, that's fine. There's not enough elevation there for golf, so that's why I would go somewhere else. It's too flat.
I didn't know that you need that much elevation for golf.
Well, you don't need it, but it makes it more interesting. Flat golf courses can be fine. Yeah, they can be fine, but it makes it more challenging when there's mounds and slope and elevation changes. So it doesn't have to be crazy, but I think the highest point on Providenciales is literally like 50 feet above sea level. So that may not be quite enough. There's a golf course there, but...
Maybe like little island scattered, so you have to hit it from island to island.
I'm pretty sure there you go. Like now we're getting creative. Party
mini game or something.
Precisely.
Well, Matt's might be golf. Mine would actually not so much be a resort specifically. This should probably come as no surprise. Mine would be a boat, a dive boat, with all of your dive stuff included, so you don't have to travel with it. And all of your gas fills included with great dining. Like, I know that a number of dive boats obviously include the diving and the food as well. But, like, they're not bookable with points. So I just want one that's bookable with points. You know, maybe a, like, round the world one that hits all the top spots. You know, Indonesia, the South Pacific, come over to the Caribbean, like, Tanzania, just, you know, around the world, luxury dive, all-inclusive boat that you can book with points.
Why haven't we invented that yet?
Why hasn't anyone invented it yet? Clearly, we want it. I want it.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Yeah, that makes it easy. I feel like, especially with diving, there's a lot of things to think about. So if everything is included beyond just food and drink, it really allows you to relax more because you're not thinking about making sure you have all your gear and all that.
Yeah. Or like with some of the trips that I do, you have a gas bill at the end, which can sometimes be
really?
Pretty. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Like whenever we're doing stuff where we have to take helium mixes with us, you're paying for the helium. And so, you know, there's always this kind of lingering, what's my gas bill going to be at the end?
Do you hold your breath
slower? Yeah.
I was going to say, do you hold your breath longer underwater so you use less helium? Like, I can make it. I've only got $5 left.
Yeah. I already count while I'm breathing, so maybe I do stretch it a little bit further.
Good to know.
Man, I'm picturing now like a helium subscription service. So you're underwater and it's like, oh, I've got 20 minutes left, but I only have $7 or 7 minutes worth of helium that I prepaid for. And then it's going to cut me off.
Then you run into surge helium pricing. Do you want to live? Yeah. Okay, you pay extra.
Okay, we got a few options here.
Save us, Emily.
I mean, mine would also be based around an activity. Shocker. I think I would have some kind of all-inclusive ski resort in Japan. Ooh. And not only would it include your ski pass, because that's the crazy thing to me, especially in the U.S., some of the resorts, not that they're all-inclusive, but you pay like thousands of dollars a night to stay at them, and it doesn't even get you onto the mountain. It doesn't even get you skiing access. So my points would cover my activity costs. And it would also let me bypass any lift lines so that I didn't have to wait in line.
Lift status.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Disney Fast Pass or whatever that thing is called, but for skiing.
How would that work if everyone staying there has it?
Well, not everyone skiing on the mountain is staying there.
Oh, shows what I know about skiing and golf, apparently.
Yeah. So that would be my dream.
So our takeaway is everyone would want an activity-based all-inclusive that caters to the activities we like to do when we travel.
Yeah. I mean, I also love a good, like, go to a beach and do nothing option, but that already exists, so I don't need to create that.
That's fair. Well, our dreams might not be coming a reality anytime soon. But let's talk about all-inclusives that you actually can book with points that actually do exist, that might not be some far-fetched options that we're wishfully hoping for that will probably never come true. Let's start off with, like, which programs actually even offer all-inclusives on points?
I had no idea Hyatt dominated so hard in this category.
It's a recent domination.
Yeah.
On a couple of these brands.
Yeah. Hyatt's definitely one. I think they have over 100 all-inclusive properties. There's a lot of brands that people might recognize. Your Hyatt Ziva, Zilara, like Matt was mentioning, The Secrets. There's Dreams, Zoetry, Breathless. We're just like really any kind of like adjective, ethereal kind of adjective. There's a lot of them. I mean, there's some brands that are not 100% all-inclusive properties, like the Alila Ventana Big Sur is all-inclusive, but not every Alila is all-inclusive. There's a ton of options, especially within the Hyatt portfolio, mostly across like Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America. There's some in Europe now too, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's one thing that you'll run into is there's definitely some all-inclusives outside of the North America, but it is by and large dominated by the North American market, specifically Caribbean and Mexico. Some in the U.S., but, you know, it's
I don't know how I feel about what kind of commentary that says about primarily the American culture, but maybe North American culture too. Jury's still out on that.
Gonna take us away on that one, Matt?
Nope, sure not. Just an observation.
But Hyatt definitely, like you said, Emily, dominates. I mean, they've kind of, their strategy over the past few years has been less build our own and more buy these other brands. And a number of the ones that they've been buying include a lot of these all-inclusives. I know when I got started in Points and Miles, I think Ziva and Zilara were the only Hyatt brands that really were all-inclusives. Then they brought in Miraval, and I forget what the, like, company name was that included like Dreams and Secrets and all of those brands, but they've really been expanding by acquisition and I guess really going after the all-inclusive market. I mean, I don't even know if the other options that we're going to go through that are bookable with points total up to the total number of properties that Hyatt has that are all-inclusive, which says how much they're dominating the market.
Yeah. One thing that it is just important to note, especially with the timing of when we'll publish this episode, is the award chart changes to Hyatt properties are coming, or they will have just happened. And there's a lot of different price points now for some of these all-inclusives. Yeah. So there are 5 different categories of Hyatt all-inclusives. I think it's A, B, C, D, E, and F.
These are outside of the normal Hyatt categories. They have like their own separate subcategories for just for all inclusives.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want more info on that, you can check out our recent episode on the Hyatt and United changes, but we really go into detail on these changes there, but keep going, Emily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my point here is just that it's hard to give you a range of what it will cost. Like, yes, there is an award chart, but it could be like 12,000 points per night, or it could be 85,000 points per night. It just depends on the category and like the peak season, the timing that you're booking.
Yeah. The one exception to that is the Miraval properties. They then have their own separate award chart.
In case it wasn't confusing enough.
At least they published the rates,
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Miraval pricing varies based off the type of room you're booking and the occupancy level. So if you're booking for one person, it's going to be less. If you're booking for two people, it's going to be more. Your rates can vary from 40 to 160,000 points per night.
Like, just insane.
Like, to be totally like fair though, that top end is for like premium suites, double occupancy. Yeah. Most people are not looking to shell out their points for that. Most of you will probably just be content, I should say, booking the standard room, which starts at 40,000 points per night for single occupancy. But if you are going double occupancy and it's peak times, then it does get up to 95,000 points per night.
That would be kind of one of the more elevated all-inclusives in the Hyatt brand, yeah. though. Higher-end dining activities. If you compare Miraval's cash rates with the points rates, it may be less of a shock in terms of like points price per night when you realize that hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars per night at the Miraval.
Yeah, and I've stayed at two of the Miravals. I think there's three now, a fourth one that's supposed to open this year, actually outside of North America, in Saudi Arabia. They're opening one over on the Red Sea.
Interesting.
And they really are like kind of very different experience from what you expect at an all-inclusive. They're smaller, feel more intimate properties. Food is included, and the food is great. I don't think alcohol was included, but a lot of activities are. I mean, we did a like rock climbing course, guided hikes. We did a horse meditation.
What
on earth is that?
It's where you do meditation around horses, which is someone who doesn't like horses. I did not particularly find it.
Yeah, that relaxing. Doesn't sound very relaxing. Because I've seen people do like goat meditation or goat yoga or something like that, I think, which is similar. But like if a goat steps on you, it's not going to like crush your arm off. If a horse steps on you, it's going to crush your arm.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
What is the science behind horse meditation?
I think it has to do with the sound waves and the rhythm of the horse's tail when they're swatting flies. It really just equalizes your chakra. Oh, sorry. I have no clue.
Yeah. I mean, the Miraval brand is a more like wellness brand.
Wellness, yeah.
So like all of the food, it's fairly light. Like not like you're not getting enough of it, but it's pretty curated menus. But there are like less crunchy activities. Like we did a beekeeping class at the one in Austin, which was pretty cool. So, whereas a lot of your other ones, like they're going to be your big beach resorts, typically.
Alila, water activities
are being an exception. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what have I done? I think, which is the adults only Hyatt, Dalara.
I always get this confused.
I always
same
get
every time. Whichever one is the adults only one. We went to that, and there was like water aerobics classes and beach volleyball and all this
Other
stuff that you can get sucked into.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is nice whenever activities like that are included. Sometimes some will come at a premium, like Matt said, like some will include golf, but you have to pay a small amount. Like it's not what you would normally pay to play golf, which don't ask me what that amount is. like it's a small surcharge, but there are a lot of activities that are included at some.
Yeah.
You know, if all inclusive is what you're looking for, Hyatt probably is going to be your first stop, simply because the other programs with so many fewer options means you're really looking more like, are you going there first? Whereas Hyatt's portfolio kind of has an all-inclusive just about everywhere within North America that you would want to go. Whereas others, it's like, oh, okay, well, I happen to be going to Costa Rica and they happen to have an all-inclusive there. You know, Marriott has 39 all-inclusives, at least at the time of recording, which means they're either going to cut one or launch one tomorrow. So that way we will not be accurate enough to date on that anymore. But they're pretty spread out and also like very brand agnostic, whereas Hyatt has all-inclusive brands with some exceptions, right? Like the Alila brand, not all are all-inclusive, but Alila Ventana Big Sur is. Marriott brands, there's not like one specific brand that is all inclusive. Some of them will be an autograph collection, some are Westin, some are luxury collection, like, and those brands themselves are not all inclusive ones. But you know, you can find the Marriott's variety of places, Antigua, Cancun, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic. I would probably say like the three main places for all inclusives would be Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Jamaica are where you're going to find most of them. Yeah. Like if you're going to one of those places, you can be pretty, which one do I want to stay at? But like St. Lucia, Marriott has an all-inclusive there, but like not all like St. Lucia is not known as an all-inclusive destination. It's not that Marriott's the only one there, but it's not a place that people inherently think of to go for that all-inclusive experience.
Yeah. The pricing on some of these too is all over the map just because there's so many different so many different categories again and different brands. So you could find some that are $50K a night on the low end. Some could be $150K a night on the high end. And that's for like standard night. So, I mean, it's dynamic pricing, so they can kind of rake you over the coals.
Yeah, if you can find some of those 50K ones, those can certainly be like some good options. I don't, like at some point, you've got to ask yourself, like, am I paying more points just to buy up to the all-inclusive experience? And in some situations, that's certainly a yes.
Yeah, but like in that example, if you look at the brands in Marriott specifically, you've got Autograph Collection, Delta by Marriott, Westin, Luxury Collection, Marriott Hotels, W Hotels. Like those are mid-tier sort of brands in the Marriott portfolio. You're not, we're not talking about like a Fairfield Inn, kind of more towards the bottom side of things. So $50K a night for a mid-tier, you know, potentially Autograph Collection hotel, you know, with all-inclusive can be potentially an attractive offering. Now, that's assuming you can find a lot of 50K a night space. My hunch is that it's probably more towards the middle of that range on average dates, but somebody else can do the research and report back.
After Marriott comes Hilton. Who wants to take a guess as to how many all-inclusives Hilton has? Just kidding. It's in our notes, so we're not actually taking a guess. Wow, Emily, how did you know?
How did I know? Yeah, shockingly low number. Like, after I started browsing around Hyatt, and I was like, they have 100 plus. I was like, oh, well, it'll probably be comparable across the three big ones, Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt. No. Hilton, as far as I can tell, has 11 total, and they've got some in Mexico, the DR, Curacao, Turkey, which I thought was interesting, and there is like one in Greece. And I was looking at the pricing on some of the ones in Turkey. There was one that was 36,000 points per night, which is crazy.
That's wild for Hilton points.
Yeah, exactly. For Hilton points. 18,000 points per night if you transfer them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Wild.
As someone who is going to, or supposed to be going to Turkey, now I am looking these up because that's intriguing.
Yeah. The others have a much higher starting point and a wider range. Like the cheapest I could find was 73K a night on some of these other ones. And the high end was 121K a night for just your standard room. So if there's not standard room availability, then it might be priced higher.
One thing that I've noticed with Hilton's, I just got back from the Conrad Tulum, which is not marketed as an all-inclusive property. But one thing I find Hilton doing is they offer all-inclusive packages at certain properties. So the property itself might not be labeled as an all-inclusive, but it doesn't mean that it's not available. Now, what that
typically
means,
that's with cash, right?
Yeah. What it means is you're booking the night with points, and then you're just paying cash to change to the all-inclusive plan.
And just like buying the drinks package on a cruise, if you're going to do it, you better use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly why we didn't. We were like, like, we're not going to make this up.
Yeah.
we're gonna lose money on this proposition. But like, you know, it's an option. I hesitate to consider it an all-inclusive on points, because it's not, you're just getting your room and paying for it. But like, if you're looking to go somewhere and just stay at the resort the whole time, which I have no problem with, I love doing that, and they offer it, and you just kind of want that predictability. You don't want to have to be worrying about nickel and diming yourself the whole time you're there. It can at least provide a way to guarantee what your food and drink costs are going to be. I know we did that for our honeymoon at the Park Hyatt Maldives, and this was 8 years ago now. So I don't even know if they still do it, but like, it was just nice to go to dinner and not be stressing about what the final bill is going to be. Like, we knew ahead of time. Yeah. Like, did
well,
we come out
that's vacation math.
yeah, vacation math.
You already paid for it, so now it's free.
Yeah. But at least there, like, it included bottles of wine, which was crazy.
Oh, that is nice.
Not all of them, but a decent enough selection.
Yeah.
So, Hilton's definitely the bottom of the list on the number of properties that are exclusively all-inclusive.
This is kind of surprising to me, though, because of the size of their footprint. This is just literally like 0.001% of their portfolio or whatever. So compare that to Hyatt, where it's like, I don't know, 1%, 1%. I forget. Anyways, it's a much bigger percentage of their overall portfolio. So just kind of a random aside / interesting observation.
Yeah. We do bump up a little bit with IHG, which is closer to Marriott than Hilton, 30 properties. But kind of one of the nice things is they've got some domestically here in the U.S. in Florida, and one in Spain.
I think
Spain.
It's just one.
Yep.
Okay, they've got one in Florida and probably just one in Spain.
No, they have their Iberostar brand is I think, a Spanish brand, so, and it's all-inclusive. And so there's actually a decent chunk of them in Spain. But yeah, the one in Florida, it's holding down the fort for sure.
These ones for IHG, you're going to be looking at, what, $65,000 a night up to $187,000 a night?
Yeah, they're spreading it out.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. There's no good like transfer story there either.
Right.
Yeah. Like occasionally you might get a transfer bonus, but
20 or 30%. Yeah.
That's not something you can reliably count on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do. IHG does fourth night free though, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hilton is fifth night free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the things with IHG as well is they've got, I'd imagine a big chunk of their all-inclusives are Holiday Inn resorts. So if you're traveling with family, those Holiday Inn resorts really cater towards family-friendly travel experiences. You know, just because an all-inclusive includes everyone of all ages doesn't necessarily mean that it's like designing an experience that is for families. Yeah. It's more just they're accommodating them, whereas a lot of all-inclusives honestly like are adults only nowadays. So knowing that there's an option within IHG that is a brand that is dedicated more towards family friendliness could be a good option there. And especially, like we said, fourth night free. I may still not do it at $187,000 a night.
But, yeah, that's a tough sell.
No.
That's a tough sell.
Yeah. But, you know, some of those lower tier or lower points costs, I don't want to call them lower tier. It doesn't mean that they're bad properties, you know. But $70,000 a night, fourth night free means 210. So you're at about 50,000 points per night. Like, when you vacation math it, it's not terrible.
And you don't not have to pay terrible. For food.
Yeah.
Or drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our last one, which is one that's really often overlooked, I feel, in points and miles. Yeah. Like, I know we've talked about it, but doesn't get the recognition it deserves sometimes. And especially when we're talking all-inclusive as a place where it really shines is Wyndham with 64 properties. I mean, That is almost more than Marriott, Hilton, and IHG.
Yeah, combined.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely underrated for sure. And there's a relatively new transfer partner to it. So that makes it even more interesting.
Yep.
And on top of that, it's got probably the most simple award chart out there. There are three tiers. You can either pay 7,500 points a night, 15,000 points a night, or 30,000 points a night. And
per bedroom.
Per bedroom. Yeah.
That's the important distinction on Wyndham. Yeah.
Yeah. But most of the all-inclusives are going to be at that 30,000 points per night, per room rate, because they're like higher end properties.
And they have a little bit more dispersion on the locations offering. So Europe, Asia, Caribbean, Central America, North America, and South America. So not just the Caribbean or Greece/Turkey. Or Spain. We did mention Spain. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
I have looked at a number of Wyndham all-inclusives, and I'll be honest, the only reason I haven't actually stayed at one yet is because Wyndham's websites are so bad, and their pictures make the properties look so outdated. Like, and I can't imagine, right? Like, their Decameron brand, if I said that correctly, which was new as of 2024, like, these are not going to be old properties. But I feel like they're like hiring a high school intern to take pictures of their properties, and it just doesn't do a good job of selling them. So when I'm comparing digitally side by side, it just it doesn't give me that emotional feeling of, oh, I'm excited to use my points for this. It just kind of feels like, do I want to settle for this? And I'm sure like that's not actually the case. But there's something to be said about like your marketing efforts and
I noticed the same. I was looking at one of the ones in Spain, and even the descriptions of the rooms were like basic apartment.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not sparking joy. Like, call it a junior suite or something, you know?
Yeah.
I hear ya.
One thing to consider amongst all of these, like these points values that we mentioned, are if you're redeeming points directly. But all inclusives can also be like a really interesting time to consider using a travel portal. You know, some of these, like the Marriott's, the IHG's, the Hilton's, which are getting into the hundreds of thousands of like 100 to 200,000 points per night, like, through a travel portal, those same points are equivalent to about like $1,500, like depending on the portal and what points and what cards you have and all of those factors. But don't overlook, you should at least do the comparison shopping to see what it's going to cost you in a portal. These all-inclusives can be a place where the cash cost means that you would actually pay less in the portal than transferring your points there. You know, when we're talking Mexico, for an example, there's a wide range of pricing, but probably like in the middle, you're talking about like $500 to $700 a night for an all-inclusive. Some of the more luxury properties are obviously going to be more than that. But that puts you right in that like 30 to 50,000 point per night range. So before you go to book on the hotel's website directly, be sure to check your bank portals to see what the points costs are, as well as what offers they have. I know that it's not that like I didn't book it as an all-inclusive, but the Conrad Tulum that I got back from, I booked it through a portal to A, stack some credits that I had that could be used there to help offset the nightly cost. B, they were also offering a third night free. So I used credits, paid for two nights. It was a cash booking, admittedly, but I could have redeemed the points for it in the portal and effectively paid like 1.5 nights and gotten three. So you can potentially stretch your points a lot further, whereas I think they wanted 95,000 points per night directly through Hilton.
Yeah.
And you earn points on that spend too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just be sure when you're talking all inclusives, it's one of those places where the portal arbitrage can be a good opportunity, and it'll take you like 5 minutes to check it out and see if it's actually going to be a better deal. Just be sure you do it before you transfer any points over.
Yeah. Good call.
That's kind of the overview of all-inclusives. Like, why do people want to stay at all-inclusives? Like, what's included? How do people decide which one to book? Like, what makes them so appealing? Not just from a points perspective, right? The points perspective is you're not paying cash and you're getting a lot included. But like, why are these attractive options for people?
I think the biggest allure is just I can do what I want across a number of activities, food and beverage that's included, not have to make decisions about, hey, do I want to pay for a steak dinner tonight at some or go have a hamburger? Because like, you can do both or either, depending on what you want. You can get a second dessert. Doesn't matter. And so for some people, that, or a lot of people really, that allure is kind of nice. Not have to constantly be making decisions. Which is super nice on vacation when you're literally just trying to get away from not making decisions.
Yeah, I think like, especially points and miles people know how stressful like planning a trip can be. Like, because if you're using points and miles, it's just a whole layer, additional layer of complexity beyond just like, how much am I paying for this trip? So if you can go somewhere and then not have to think once you're there, that's kind of appealing.
It's kind of a funny story. I remember from our honeymoon, the best part was like literally not having to carry a wallet around the whole week because you don't have to pay for anything. Obviously, you can, you know, just charge stuff to your room like a normal hotel for the few premium type options. But I guess I got so used to it that we were flying home and we had a couple hour layover in the airport. So we had lunch or dinner or something at a restaurant and we were finished. I just got up and left because I was still in like all inclusive mode and was basically like walking out of the restaurant and they were like, sir, you have to pay. And I was like, oh yeah, I do have to do that.
Yeah.
Back to the real world kind of thing. So that mindset.
I doubt you were the first.
No, well, I mean, I don't know, maybe. But
that's funny.
But yeah, I was just, oh yeah. That's to me, it's true disconnect when it's like, yeah, I leave what I want. Don't have to pay.
It is. Yeah. Like one thing to be that like I always look at before booking an all-inclusive is what are those food options? You know, because if you're going to be there for 5 days and they only have two or three restaurants included in the all-inclusive.
Yeah.
You might.
you might eat the whole menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that varies property by property. Some, everything, all of the restaurants are included and they've got 7, 8, 9, 10 available for you to pick from. Like you get a ton of diversity, but some, they might have like 6 restaurants, but only 4 are included. And then you get a discount or something at the other. So be sure to check that as well as if you're looking at it for the drinks perspective, be sure that alcohol is included. Because sometimes all-inclusive is just the food. Like, just understand what you're booking beforehand so that way you avoid those surprises whenever you get there.
Yeah. And then if alcohol is not included, it's probably overpriced. I know it's definitely that way at Ventana Big Sur. It's like, all your food's included, but if you have 2 drinks with dinner, oh boy.
Yeah. I think Miraval was the same. Like, hey, you're here for wellness, so if you're gonna drink instead of we're gonna charge you the anti-wellness tax.
yeah, but I think that's a good point of like just knowing what you're booking, because a lot of people make the assumption that it just is like a standard points booking where, oh, this room has 2 queen beds, I can probably fit 4 people, and I'll just do that and bring my family of 4. When in actuality, usually that price only covers 2 people per room. So if you're going to just stay in one room with your family of 4, you'll have to either pay points or pay cash for the extra 2 people that are in that room. And if they're like young kids, sometimes they don't even price it appropriately based on their age. Like if you have like a 4-year-old who's not going to eat a ton and drink a ton, but it's still going to be like $200 extra per night, just make sure you know what to expect, because it might be cheaper to like just book a second room on points than it would be to pay extra to put more people in one room.
Yeah. I hope anyone's 4-year-old isn't drinking a lot.
Yeah. 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 But that's one that we see people stumble on quite often. And sometimes you don't even realize before you get to check in. And then they're like, yeah, by the way, it's a lot of extra money.
Yeah, I recall seeing a number of sort of nightmare stories, like primarily at Hyatt Ziva or whatever, where they'll book the two adults and forget to add the kids or just not know to add the kids or whatever. And they get to check in. And it's like, that'll be hundreds of dollars per night per kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a fun pickle to start your vacation with.
No, no. And like kind of in the same vein, there's different levels of family friendliness at some of these all-inclusives. Like they might allow kids, but they might only allow kids that are 16 and up, or they might only allow kids at certain times of the year, or like even more specific, it's like, oh, your 14-year-old can come in June, but not in October. So there's a lot of extra layers to make sure you're aware of before you just hit the book button.
Yeah. And I mean, like all of the regular kind of research you would do before booking a property applies as well, especially for adults only. Like, I feel like adults only all-inclusives fall into one of two categories, either very chill and relaxing vibes, or it's a constant nightclub. And if
I know which one you'd prefer.
If you're expecting it to be, oh, adults only, so it's going to be calm and relaxing, and you show up and it's nightclub all-inclusive vibes, like you're going to have a very different experience than what you expected. And similarly, if you are expecting nightclub vibes and you get there and it's chill and relaxing, you might feel that it's too laid back, like not enough excitement for you. Like nothing's wrong with either one. It's about just being sure you know what experience you're expecting before you get there.
I was doing some research to just look up all the different all-inclusive resort options that I could find, and I stumbled upon this spreadsheet on Reddit, the all-inclusive resorts subreddit, which we should link to in the show notes. But it is a massive Google sheet of over 500 all-inclusive resorts with everything that you could possibly want to know about them. The location, the price, whether it's family friendly versus adults only, if there's direct flights to the closest airport, how far of a drive they are from the closest airport, people's ratings, the style of hotel, kind of like you're talking about, Travis. Like, is it romantic? Is it business casual? Is it like all of that different stuff, the room types. We'll share it for sure, because I have never found such a helpful resource.
Yeah.
I look at that and I'm like, why does that only live in a subthread on Reddit and not somewhere more accessible to the world?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's no, the only feature you could add is like what the points price is, but you know, I guess you got to do some stuff on your own.
One last thing of like what's included versus what's not as well. Part of why it's really important is I tend to find at all inclusives that, Emily, you kind of like called this out earlier, the things that aren't included are pretty overpriced.
Yeah.
Like if alcohol is not included, they're charging you a premium for it. If spa is not included, which for many they are not, it's going to feel like overpriced. And I don't even mean overpriced by resort standards. I mean overpriced by resort standards. Like the Conrad, we were looking at the spa menu, and like a 90-minute like couples massage, I kid you not, was almost a grand.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I've been to another one also in Mexico where I think like each massage was like $600. Like it was just absurdly priced. Like I said, not even by resort standards of the premium that you typically expect to pay. It was much more than that.
That but gets into the like, we don't actually want you to do this territory, but if you do, you're going to pay us a premium for it.
Yeah. One of the ways that I found to help mitigate that a bit, not every property does this, but if they have any timeshare part of it. Like a lot of people will do a timeshare to get some of their stay for free, and that's a good way to unlock some value at all inclusives. But a lot of them, I shouldn't say a lot, some of them I have anecdotally found will offer, hey, now that you're here, come to our timeshare presentation and we'll give you a $1,500 spa credit. So if you really are interested,
sounds like a lot,
which sounds like a lot,
it's not.
You're gonna need a spa experience to get through the stress of trying to sit through a timeshare presentation.
So, you know, those can be ways, if it's something you're willing to do, to help offset some of those extra costs and maybe just unlock a little bit more value while you're there. Just be sure to set your timer.
Yeah. 2 hours and I'm gone.
But all of that being said, like, all inclusives can be a great value. It all just comes down to understanding what you're paying for, especially when you're paying for points, and what to look out for. The big things are, is food and drink included? Are activities included, even limited? You know, premium activities typically aren't, scuba diving, skiing, golf, for examples, just to name a few that might come to mind. And probably the big one is more than two people. When you're paying with points, it's typically two people. Those are the three big ones to look out for and just understand, just so that way you don't have any surprises whenever you get there. But once you get there, if you booked with points or, you know, through a portal with points, elite status, like, does elite status come into play at these any?
I feel like it does in some ways. Like, I would want a better room or early check-in, late check-out, that type of stuff, because I want to enjoy the property and all that is included with it for as much time as I can. But like, I think a lot of times some of the elite status and perks are like club lounge access, which like, if it's all inclusive, then you don't really need to access the club to get your snacks.
Yeah. And I find that they can sometimes be kind of stingy with these. I'm going back to the Conrad. We loved our stay. Like, it's a beautiful property. I estimated they were at 20% occupancy while we were there.
That's
and we
wild.
Just got upgraded to a, despite having Hilton Diamond, just got upgraded to a room with a better view, which just meant it was on the top floor, so you could actually see the ocean instead of having vegetation out front. Like, there's no way all of your suites were sold out.
Yeah.
So like any elite perks, like, go in hoping for the best, set your expectations appropriately, and just know that, like,
prepare to be disappointed more than you're wowed, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those other ones that matter, like free breakfast or club access, that, it doesn't really matter whenever it's already all inclusive.
Yep.
Yeah, I think depending on where you're going, I think the key ones, like you mentioned, are the early check-in and late check-out, depending on where you're going and what your travel schedule is, because some of the, like, early, both, well, on both ends, that can literally add up to potentially a full extra day. If you can get a, you know, noon or 11 a.m. check-in or something, and then a 4 p.m., 2 to 4 p.m. check-out, that essentially gives you an extra half day on both ends of your trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just
how many drinks and meals can you eat?
Hey.
On that, right, again, I just to carve out, some properties will limit on your check-in and check-out days what meals are included. So this is just another one to just be aware of in advance, and just reach out to the property if you're not sure. Some on your arrival day will only include dinner. So if you arrive at 10 a.m. and you're expecting lunch, it might not be included and you have to pay extra. And on your departure day, they might only include breakfast. So if you're, you know, you booked a 9 p.m. flight back home hoping to stay there all day, your lunch and dinner might not be included as well. I feel like I'm being such a negative Nancy on all inclusives.
You carve out some caveats. Yeah, you kind of have to, unfortunately.
Just the way they're marketed makes it sound like you don't have to worry about anything, but there's actually
a lot to worry about.
There's a lot to worry about.
or maybe not worry about, but pay attention to, so you temper your expectations correctly upon arrival.
Yeah. Like, it can be easy to look at them and think everything's going to be smooth and seamless, but their job is to get as much money and not as many costs out of you. Like, they're trying to win that equation of, hey, like, you paid one price and you get your room, food, and drinks, and we want to be sure that we are on the winning side of that.
Sir, you don't really need a fourth dessert tonight.
Says who?
Yeah.
We did get lightly side-eyed at a sushi restaurant at an all-inclusive once.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. We ordered a lot because there was a lot we were interested in. We only had one night we were planning to go there, so it was like...
But see, I think that's on the hotel. Why? You know sushi is a volume...
Oh,
food.
Yeah.
So like if you're really trying to focus on managing your costs, don't put a sushi restaurant in an all-inclusive restaurant. Simple solution.
But I feel like every all-inclusive has a sushi place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like what are we doing here, folks?
Do they I mean, I guess not in an all-inclusive restaurant, but some of the like all-you-can-eat sushi restaurants near us are like, if you don't finish everything on your table, we will charge you extra.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah. Or you have a time limit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that just feels illegal.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're pretty lenient with it. Like if you have like three pieces left, they're not going to go.
Sorry, you have two pieces of rice left.
Yeah.
Here's your bill.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't eat all of your wasabi?
Mm. We're coming for you.
All right. So if someone's looking to book all inclusives, like, is there anything they need to know about seasonality, sweet spots? When to go, when to book, like anything like that.
I mean, I think the general best practices still apply here. If you're going to the Caribbean or other sort of tropical type destinations, pay attention to hurricane season or inclement weather seasons and trends. Not to say you can't go. I go to the Caribbean a ton during hurricane seasons, but you, one, just need to be aware of it, and two, potentially have some flexibility in case something pops up.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. The like seaweed season? Is it algae or
sargassum?
Sargassum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens a lot in Mexico, right?
Yeah. It's like, I think it's getting longer. So
I was going to say, isn't it close to like year round now?
Probably. It's certainly worse the warmer that it is. The warmer that it is, the worse that it is. So the later in summer, but right, we were there just in March and it was already really bad. So something to be aware of there, specifically with Mexico. Look to see how well they handle it. Some resorts handle it really well. Some do not.
Just leave it? Yeah. That can be such a downer too, especially if... Like, you're going as a big family and planning on beach activities, and it's not really accessible.
Yeah. Of course, like Matt said, your best practices with booking any travel kind of apply here as well. Like, shoulder season is when you're probably going to get... I mean, off season is when you'll get your absolute best deals. You know, like, October, early November.
It's off season for a reason, though, so...
Yeah.
Potentially be noted.
Yeah. But those times of year are definitely ones where, like you said, Travis, you should check the portal price before you transfer any points, because there can be like some pretty good cash rates, and you might be better off either paying cash or paying fewer points out of a portal.
Yeah, I know. I'm coming back to the same example. Like, I think the math worked out to like less than $300 a night for us at the Conrad Tulum by going through the portal.
Yeah.
And that's before applying any credits there.
Yeah, that's great.
So definitely, I mean,
shoot, what would the points, did you look at the points price just out of curiosity?
95,
it was 95. Okay. Yeah, because we did use a free night certificate for one night.
Yeah.
So I looked it up to be sure a standard room was available, and surprised with low occupancy it was.
Right.
But yeah, 95,000 points. So even with a transfer bonus where you're getting 3 Hilton for every 1 flexible currency you're transferring through the portal, like, still comes out a bit ahead.
Yeah.
Of course, those peak travel times, which for anyone looking at the family friendly ones, I know that these shoulder seasons typically don't work as well.
Yeah, with school and stuff. You know, yeah.
Instead of your 4-year-old drinking it away at an all inclusive, they're drinking it up in their education.
Yep.
So, you know, summertime, spring break, holiday season, right? Like Christmas and New Year's. These are going to be your peak times. The nice thing is, like, that will influence availability some. It will influence points pricing a bit. You know, given dynamic pricing, you can probably expect to pay more towards the top end for Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton.
I would say for like families traveling in some of the peak seasons, I would certainly look at Wyndham.
Yeah.
because of the award chart that they have, at most you're paying 30,000 points per room per night. And there that was like the second, the loyalty program with the second number, second mm-hmm. highest number of all-inclusives. And there were some great locations too. So I would probably start there.
Yeah. That's a good tip.
Then open it up to the other ones.
Yeah. But like, I'm sure none of that is new or a surprise to people that are looking to travel during peak season. It's just kind of the unfortunate reality of the stage of life.
Comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm. Comes with the territory. So any final words of wisdom for people on all inclusives?
I don't think so.
No, I think all inclusives get kind of like pegged into this small, like the people's understanding of them is pretty limited, but I think there's actually a lot of variety. Yeah, Matt raising his hand. Yeah, I mean, your first thought is kind of like all you can eat, all you can drink in Mexico or the Caribbean somewhere. And there's a lot more to it than that, especially from this research. There's places in Europe. There's, you know, like some of them are super high end. So even though you kind of think it might just be your basic food and drink, there's, if you have more points than you know what to do with, you can find some really luxurious options. Yeah.
Some of these in Turkey look really nice.
Yeah. There's a couple Hiltons in Antigua, I think, that we're looking really fancy.
Oh, yeah. The, what's that one called? The
Hermitage Bay is the one looking at. Yeah.
I was sad that I didn't book that before it got super expensive.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy now.
Yeah.
$230,000 per night for standard room.
That's filthy. That's filthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is supposed to be like one of the best all-inclusive options that you can book.
Correct.
Like, not just in Antigua, but like anywhere.
Period. Yeah.
The fact that you can book that with points.
Like, yeah. I mean, the math I was doing, the cash price is crazy. For five nights, I think it was $14,000. But if you're transferring
so don't use
your
a portal.
In, yeah. If you're transferring your points into Hilton, then it would have been like 460,000 points because you get your fifth night free, which is still crazy. I'm not saying, but the CPP on that is like 3 cents per point. So it's pretty good.
Math still maths.
Math still maths. If you really want to just spend all the points that you've ever earned.
Well, I hope that this helps you kind of understand where to look for all inclusives. Hyatt and Wyndham are going to be some of your better points options before Hilton, Marriott, IHG. Not that there aren't, especially if you're looking to go to Hermitage Bay, which I'm probably pronouncing very wrong. But just the sheer options is going to give you more access through Wyndham and Hyatt than any other program. And just some of the things to watch out for and just understanding, like that's what it comes down to, is understanding what you're booking and what actually is included in the all-inclusive, so that way you don't get the summertime saddies whenever you arrive and and they tell you that, oh, you have two extra children and your booking with points was only for two people, so now you have to pay $200 a night for your four-year-old to drink. So just do a little bit of that research to understand what's included, what the vibes are. But most of the time, all-inclusives can be a great way to, like, if you're looking for one of those just seamless vacations to disconnect, recharge, and put those worries away. That due diligence just makes sure that you can really put those worries away the second that you arrive. So if you've booked or you're thinking of booking an all-inclusive with points, we would love to hear about it. Share your wins, tips, or any cautionary tales over in our Facebook group, the largest points and miles community in the world with over 400,000 members. Also, more than one member. Both are true and accurate statements. If you're looking to make sense of your points stash, check out My 10X, our free tool that helps you track, manage, and optimize your rewards all in one place. And if you're plotting your dream trip and need a hand, 10X Travel Plus gives you one-on-one consults, award booking help, and more. You can check it out at 10xtravel.com/10xtravel-plus. Check the show notes you know, we were fans of the hyphen before AI. So check the show notes. We'll have the link there for you. For all of us here at 10X Travel, we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.